Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
And you guys can find a seat, whether it's on a chair, blanket, under some shade, by Glen Avenue. We see you. We can't hear you, but we see you. Man, so special. Sometimes you stand in a moment and you can't even really believe it's real. And this is one of those for my life personally and for the life of our church. Thank y'all so much for doing whatever it takes to lift up the name of Jesus together. And thank y'all for believing in a vision beyond yourself. I am going to preach the fastest sermon I've ever preached in my life for your benefit today. But less than a sermon today, it's going to be more of a conversation that we're going to have. We're going to have a conversation about our church, and it's going to be called Here and Now. Here and Now. If you've been a part of ACC for a while, this is something that we say again and again and again. God is in the here and now, not the there and then. He's our ever-present help in trouble. So a lot of people see God as kind of this disconnected deity who's watching the human race from heaven like a movie with his heavenly popcorn and his angels waiting to see what happens next. And then a lot of other people view God as this all-controlling master and ruler who's just having fun at our expense, dictating the universe despite all the suffering and difficulty in the world and kind of disconnected from caring about humans, but still involved. The way Scripture tells us about who God is, though, is that even though he is all-powerful and even though he is all-knowing, he's ever-present, which means he's not watching distant from afar. He is very involved in this moment, in the here and now. And too many Christians, and I believe too many churches, get stuck in the there and then when they try to make their existence more about the past or more about the future. It's about here and now. See, God's not hoping that you're gonna change your past today. He's not hoping that you're gonna rewind to the biggest mistake of your life 5 years ago or even 5 hours ago. God is always in the here and now, and the past is in the past, and the future is being created by the decisions that you and I make in the here and now. But here's the thing. God doesn't want you to compromise your future worrying about what you can't see. He wants you to create the future based on what you can see in the here and now. So we're a church that believes in always being present. We're always in this moment. We're not trying to get 5 steps ahead of God, but we're definitely not trying to stay 5 steps behind what he has said and what he's revealed. And although for 4 years we've seen again and again and again this vision of church without walls explode and expand our capacity, we always believe in staying current and staying present with our God. And so here and now, can I just be honest about where we are as a church? And if you're visiting from out of town, welcome to ACC. You picked a great Sunday to figure out what we're all about. And some of you are fantasizing about your church back home and going, I'm a lot cooler there, but this is kind of awesome that this many people come to a field and lift up the name of Jesus. Let me just say this. We don't want to be people that complain about what's difficult like the Israelites on the way to the promised land. We want to endure the challenges and proclaim what's awesome to have the God of the universe producing a movement in our midst. And we love being on the front lines of what God is doing in the world. So this is awesome. I'm honored to preach in front of you right now and honored to stand in this moment. And I hope that you're pumped to be here. It's amazing. We're going to have an honest conversation about a challenge, not a problem, a challenge that we have as a church. I would call it, on the surface, a capacity challenge. The word capacity means the maximum amount something can contain. And what's cool is when our church started 4 years ago, we didn't have a capacity challenge. We had a people challenge where we met at a Lutheran church on Sunday nights and a few pews were filled and worship was a little bit apathetic. It kind of felt like we were just there passing the time trying to figure out what in the world this new church was going to become. And what we've watched again and again is, God, expand our capacity beyond what we're doing currently to do something new. And this idea of church without walls, by the way, I know it's tempting to think, okay, we get it, church without walls. You taught us there are no physical walls in this place. That is not what church without walls means. Church without walls means we exist to proclaim that there is no gap or wall between people and God and between people and people because of what Jesus has done. So follow this. There is nothing separating you and I from the God of the universe, and people in Auburn, Alabama, and all over the world are believing a lie about a gap that doesn't exist. There is nothing separating you from the God of the universe today because of what Jesus has done. And what our church loves to do is step into that gap for people and go, hey, listen, everybody look up here, don't miss this. There's no gap between you and God. There's no wall. The wall that was there has been kicked down by Jesus, and the relentless, reckless love of God is available for every human being on planet Earth who recognizes the finished work that Jesus has done. So we're just a church that proclaims, not that we're the ones who are gonna remove the wall between you and God. That wall was already removed by Jesus. We're just the ones who make that clear to people. We go, hey, that lie you're believing, not true. That shame you're living in, not real. And that paralyzing fear of what you can't control fades away the moment you find peace in knowing the one who is controlling your story is the same Savior who died to save you. He's your good shepherd. But we're not just here to be a church without walls between people and God. We're also here to be a church without walls between people and people. Because Jesus came to destroy two walls. The wall that separated us from heaven and the wall that separated us from each other. And we believe that life is best lived out in community where believers don't have anything separating them on the basis of race or on the basis of economic demographic or on the basis of anything that holds them back from each other. See, I believe for 4 years, we haven't been a church without walls perfectly, but we've been a church without walls faithfully. The Spirit of God is in this place, ACC. It is an honor to be your pastor. And do you want to know why the Holy Spirit is moving a group of people to sit where you're sitting right now? It's not because what we do from stage is amazing, and it's not because our volunteer teams are well-trained, as great as they are. Can you give it up for our parking team who got you in here today? Man, this is incredible. It's not because there were people here at 4 o'clock this morning setting up this stage and making this happen, who drove this stage from Mobile, Alabama to be in Auburn today. It's amazing. It's not because of the people who worked their hardest to make this thing happen. It's because of the name that we're lifting up as we're working to make this thing happen. Jesus is lifted high, and Jesus is moving in this space because we continue to lift him high. But in here and now, I'm just going to be honest with you, we have a challenge. We meet at the AU Hotel. We have 5 gatherings, and 5's not enough. Hundreds of you sit in overflow every week, which is still amazing, y'all. Our overflow room, every week I do an invitation to receive Christ. I hear from people who are in overflow. Bro, there's people in overflow raising their hands to receive Jesus. They're not even in the room. It's just a screen, and they're going, I want Jesus. I want to step into life. I want to get baptized. That's amazing, and that's powerful. But what we're noticing is the more we try to expand our capacity to break down more walls between people and God, the more our capacity feels limited. And so with the limited amount of time that I have left, I want to show you a moment in Scripture where the disciples and Jesus seem to have a capacity challenge. There were too many people, the need was too great, and they didn't have room, and they didn't have money, and they didn't have the resources to do what they were about to do, but Jesus did it anyway. If you brought your Bible, I'm in Mark chapter 6. If you brought your Bible, by the way, hold it up. Let me just say, oh, somebody get a picture of this. Hold it up high. Don't clap. Here's what I want to say. If you brought your Bible today, let me just proclaim this as your pastor. You're going to heaven, okay? Just go to Mark chapter 6 right now. Sorry, I'm not being serious. That's heresy. Jesus gets you to heaven. But seriously, y'all are some righteous people bringing your Bibles in the midst of all the things you could have brought today. You could have brought a cooler, but you brought your Bible. It works as a fan, too. I don't know if you knew that. You can do this. Mark chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 30. This is the most famous miracle, or I would say the most prevalent miracle in the Gospels. This is the only miracle story of Jesus that's in all 4 Gospels. It's the story of him feeding 5,000 people in a field. 5,000 men, more like 10,000 or 15,000 people. So watch this. If you took this field, go ahead and look around at this field right now, multiply it times 5, that's how many people Jesus fed with five loaves of bread and two fish. But what I want to show you today is not the miracle of feeding 5,000 people from a capacity sense. I want to show you why Jesus did what he did. And I appreciate the fans that are blowing on me now, but they're like blowing my sweat towel and everything off my stand. Okay, I'm just going to read this. Mark chapter 6, verse 30, and you guys can watch me sweat like a Pentecostal preacher. Here we go. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, it says this. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Somebody say, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, five and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. This looks like what I'm looking at right now. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten that day was 5,000. Somebody say 5,000. 5,000 men, not including women and children, who we're going to include in the greatest miracle of capacity that Jesus made. 10,000, 15,000 people fed by five loaves of bread and two fish. Why am I telling you that story? I am telling you that story today because I believe that we are in a similar story right now as a church. You know, we've seen God move us beyond our capacity again and again, and it's kind of like what was happening to the disciples. Jesus sent them out for the first time ever, two by two, into the world to go and minister, and they saw some awesome things, but their ministry started moving faster than they had the capacity to keep up with. So when they get back to Jesus, and they're like, hey, we did miracles, and it was awesome, and people are coming and going, and God just moved in such a powerful way. Jesus is like, that's great, but you guys are exhausted. Let's go to a remote place. Let's find a field and let's get some rest. The problem is Jesus and the disciples had this issue called stalkers. And people literally, they're stalkers in the Bible. They literally run ahead to where they think Jesus and the disciples are going to end up. And they're there before Jesus and the disciples arrive. And they're like, okay, we want to be around this movement. And it said, when Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Pay attention to that. And then as Jesus goes without eating, the disciples go without eating. I was praying to God about preaching in this moment. And I feel like the Holy Spirit was revealing to me that it was really hot where they were. So we get to stand in a moment that's similar to the moment they were standing in 2,000 years ago. And Jesus preaches and preaches and preaches. And the disciples are like, okay, that was great. Now we're really at the end of ourselves. Send them away. They need to eat. They haven't eaten. Send them away. Jesus said, no, we can feed them too. I got compassion on them. We can feed them. They're like, no, no, we can't, because that would cost beyond what our resources have the capacity to do. No, 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 no. How much do we have? No, we don't have the capacity to do that either, because we got five loaves and two fish. And let me go ahead and spoil the rest of the story for you and tell you where a lot of you are assuming I'm going. Jesus takes a limited amount of resources that were in the people's hands, multiplies them, and a bunch of people are fed, and it's a miracle. And so a lot of you know our church has a capacity challenge. Miles is going to get up here and talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and how the little boy with his little lunch just gave what he had so that the people could watch a miracle and Jesus multiply it. So I'm going to ask you to give what you have and we're going to see a miracle and Jesus multiply it. But that's not what I'm going to say today. Because the miracle that Jesus performed wasn't about capacity. It was about compassion. Did you notice that the difference between Jesus and the disciples, where the disciples were looking out for what they had the capacity to do, and Jesus' heart was wide with compassion for people who didn't understand? Jesus is looking at a group of people who don't understand that the God of the universe is on their side. They've been buried by religion. They've been buried by the law. They've been buried by slavery and impossibility. And he goes, you know what? I'm hungry. And there's way too many people here, and we deserve to get some rest. We deserve to stop for a second. But if you'll just stop thinking about your stomach and what you need for 1 second, these people are desperate for Jesus. And so I'm going to give them what they really want. I'm going to give them myself, and I'm going to preach until I can't preach anymore. And then because they're hungry and I care about their needs, I'm going to have compassion on them. The miracle wasn't about, hey, expand your capacity. The miracle is about, hey, expand your compassion. So today, I'm not gathering you in a field in Auburn, Alabama today to say, hey, we gotta expand our capacity, ACC. Here's the plan. Give your money and your talent and your resources toward it, and maybe we'll be able to. No, because that's not the story, and that's not our story. We brought you into a field today to ask you to expand your compassion, because there are tens of thousands of people in Auburn, Alabama, waking up today with no hope in a resurrected Savior. And there are billions of people around the world who God has given us the capacity to reach if only our hearts were open with compassion. Can I just be honest for a second? The time is now and the place is here in Auburn, Alabama. I've seen a lot of moves of God in my day. I've been a part of several different ones. I'm young, but yet I'm wise because I'm 30 now. Some of you are wondering, how old is he? 30, I'm old enough to be your pastor now. Yay, it's awesome. But being a part of this move of God over the course of the past 4 years has stretched me beyond what I ever thought was possible. We are seeing Jesus move in the lives of people of all ages and life seasons, not in tens and hundreds, but in thousands. And what you are witnessing today, you are 4 years into a movement with a church that can't figure out where and when to have their services. So look at what we're doing and go, the time is now and the place is here. If you and I align our hearts with love and compassion for people, there is no limit to what the God of the universe can do through this church in our day. And I believe, I'm not here to get into a conversation about when Jesus is coming back, but I do believe that we are in an end times church reformation, that our church gets to be at the epicenter of what God's doing in the world. So the reason why you got so many people who could be in air-conditioned buildings right now in a field is because they want to be at the epicenter of what God's doing in the world. And just your presence in this field shows me that you care about that. But before I tell you, hey, this is where we're going as a church, and this is how we're believing for more. Before I tell you that, I need you to know what's guiding our want to expand our reach is not the want to receive and spend money. It's not the want to expand our capacity. It's the want to expand our compassion. Do you really care about people? Do you still care that there are people around you every single day in need of Jesus? And do I really care? And if we do, we're going to have to make more of ourselves available. How do we do that? Well, we do that by giving God what we do have. So what we do have as a church is whatever God has entrusted to us. Jesus didn't say, hey, go find me that much money because we need to make this happen. He said, no, don't worry about what we can't do. Tell me what we can do. What do we have? And if we take what we do have with a heart of compassion for people who don't know Jesus and make it available to the God of the universe, the sky is not the limit on what God will do. Heaven is. And we're going to see something special in our day. So, with all that being said, I've dragged this on long enough. And my iPad's broken because it got a temperature warning. So usually when I preach from, I look down, it's like, temp, this will not work until you get cooler temperatures. So I got no notes. I got the Spirit of God. You know what I'll do? I'll just remove this, and if I need that towel, it'll be great. We're going to go into this moment together, and I'm about to make a very important announcement for the future of our church. I need you to tune in, though, because after I make the announcement, I'm about to give some specific clarity about what this is going to look like and hopefully answer as many questions as I possibly can, keeping in mind that this is ultimately about the story of God continuing to expand in our day. For 4 years, we've been a church without walls, met in different churches, venues, and buildings all over Auburn, Alabama. And our leadership got together at the beginning of 2018, this year. He's got me going crazy, man. I'm doing the best I can, guys. We got together at the beginning of this year, and we knew that there was an issue. We're going to max out our capacity by August, and we don't really have another option. And so we looked at different pieces of property all over Auburn. I can't tell you how many phone calls I got from realtors and people who own land and buildings that we were going to renovate and buy, and how many times we walked through doors only to see them shut in our face. I have never heard the words no or nothing at all from God more than any year before in my life, like 2018. But if you were here this summer in our First John series, that message, he hears us. When God says no or God says nothing to your prayer, you need to be more expectant and excited in that moment than when he says yes to what you asked for. Because God's got a track record in scripture of the more he seems to be saying nothing and making you wait or saying no and making you frustrated, he's only building up the expectation for something bigger. No, I got something better. You think you want that? I got to shut that in your face because what you really want is this. But if you walk through that, you can't get this. So I got to close the door on that so I can show you this. So he closed a lot of doors and it was frustrating. And we got to August, and I was like, Lord, are we really going to try to have 5 services with overflow? And here's the thing. All it ever takes for God to do a miracle is for you to be faithful in the here and now. So all God ever asked our teams to do is prepare with what you got in front of you. What you got in front of you is a room that seats about 500 people and an overflow room that seats about 200. And you got community groups, and you got ACC kids, and you got students, and you got the hotel. And they might be building a parking deck in your only parking lot, but you can do it. And so I was just like, okay, you didn't answer our prayer. Okay, you know, sometimes, I would say most of the time, God's best answers to our prayers don't come before we step. They come after, right before our foot lands. And so we got to August, and we had 3,000 people at a gathering, and it was like, Lord, that was awesome, but it was kind of like you didn't answer. Wow. After all of this and me promising these people again and again that if you just keep stepping, if you just stay faithful in the here and now, nothing. Monday, after that Sunday, I got a phone call. And it's a phone call that I've got 100 times. It goes like this. Hey, Miles, don't get your hopes up. I'm like, I'm not. You don't even have to preface it by then. I'm not. But I got this piece of land that's in a pretty incredible area of Auburn that I know you'd like. And it's a miracle that it even became available. And it's a miracle that it even became available to you. Do you want to come see it? Sure. Probably won't turn into anything, but I'll go see it. So I drive out there the next morning. And while I'm out there, one of our elders is driving by at the exact same time, and he sees me standing in a field. He gets out of his truck, comes over to where the realtor and the seller is, and we look around at it. We're like, this is pretty incredible. How much do they want for it? Okay. We don't have that, but we do have compassion, and we do have a lot of care for people. And so we talk about it. We pray about it, but I don't even really want to say that. Because me and that elder were talking about it, and we said, you know, there's an important difference in knowing when you're praying for something and when you're receiving the answer and you need to step with obedience. He looked at me in that field, and he said, we don't need to pray about this. This is the answer to all of those prayers. We've been fasting. We've been praying. And so some things get worked out. Land gets acquired by the group that wants to sell it to us, and I'm happy to tell you. Oh, this is so fun. Just string it along for a few more minutes. I was going to get in front of you today and go, here's the announcement. We're going to meet here every week regardless of the weather. And you were going to go, oh, I'm going to church over there somewhere. I'm happy to tell you that last Friday, Auburn Community Church signed a contract with the intention to purchase 17 acres off of Hamilton Road next to the Publix off Moore's Mill, right next to it. And yeah, waited a long time to give you guys good news. It's awesome. You guys want to see it? Now, not everybody's going to be able to see it because of where the screens are, and we kind of separated wide, but can we show them that picture? So the graphic that you're looking at is actually... No, don't start the video. Don't start the video. Go back. Are you listening? You're not listening. Okay, black screen. Okay, just show the picture. Okay, so the picture that you are actually looking at was the picture of the land from the sky. Like I said, if you know where the Publix off Moores Mill is, if you go to Juice Bar, if you go to Pure Bar, if you go to One Bite Coffee, that's the area that we're talking about. Amazing. Thousands of homes in neighborhoods of Auburn and about 7 minutes from campus. So that's a picture. Now, we're going to show the video, and hopefully it's got sound with it. We're going to show the video now, and I'm going to get out of the way. Come on. So... God opened the door, and we signed a contract where, let me make this very clear, I'm gonna answer all of your questions about it, but I just want you to know, it's okay to be excited. There's a lot that needs to get done from now and the day that land is fully our own and land that we're building on, but it's okay to be excited when God's hand of provision is opening up an incredible door. And even if God closes this door, the next one he's gonna open is gonna be even better. So the fact that we have this option only sets us up for more of the hand of God. Here's what I need to make clear though. We have a due diligence contract on that land. We do not own that land. So what's going to happen? Thank you, bro, because I'm going to open my Evernote. Guys, this is a big promo for Evernote. When your iPad overheats, you can open your sermon on another device. It's phenomenal. Nobody's laughing today. Guys, I'm sorry about what happened yesterday, okay? Somebody texted me after the game and said, praying for you, bro. Your job just got 10 times harder. But we love our team, and we're going to bounce back. See, the loss only sets you up for more victory in the future. Hello, Friday crucifixion, Sunday resurrection. Okay, so here's a couple things that I got to tell you. Number one is that we do not own that land. We're in a due diligence contract. What that means is that there are zoning issues. There's city approval that has to go through. There's appraisals that have to be done. There's engineering work that needs to be done. There's a million things that have to get done in order for everything to go through. But what you and I need to get our heads around is the idea that Auburn Community Church has a contract on this. If we move forward and raise the funding to be able to do this, we're going to be able to put a building on that property where thousands of people will get to encounter Jesus. And so, it's exciting. And you might be wondering today, you're like, okay, I know Auburn. I'm thinking about that area. Isn't there a church right across the street? Yes, there is. And I had lunch with their lead pastor this week, and he literally told me, we could not be more excited for the idea of two churches that close in proximity partnering in the gospel. If you don't know this, the Big C Church is bigger than the Little C Church, and God can move through churches united with a mission to lift up the name of Jesus in a way that he can't move through one isolated church. So we're actually excited about the idea of partnering with Cornerstone and moving forward in the message of Jesus together. Most important question you'll probably ask me today, how much does it cost? The land cost $2,338,000. Can we put that figure on the screen just so we can see that? So that's how much the land costs, not how much it costs to put a building on the land. And you might be here and be wondering, do we have that much money in the bank? No, we do not as a church. But we actually believe the message that a lot of us sat in last Sunday, that our Heavenly Father is God. And so if God's my dad and Jesus is risen from the grave, I have the capacity to ask my dad for the full estate. And here's the good news about the gospel. You haven't just been made a son or a daughter of God. You've also been made an heir. And if the whole estate belongs to God, we believe that God's going to provide for us every single step of the way. So that's how much the land is going to cost initially for us to get there. And the full offering today is going to go toward that land. And this is not the opening of, like, we're not starting a building campaign today or anything like that. We got a million things to do. We just wanted this moment to be, hey, we see that we're running short on capacity. Can we care enough about people to think long-term about the health of this church? And let me say this. I'm going to explain how we're going to continue to be a church without walls, because I know that question's coming. The Auburn community needs to know that Auburn Community Church is not a transient church. I'm going to say that again. And I'm saying it in the middle of Auburn. I love this. The Auburn community needs to know that Auburn Community Church is not going anywhere. We are here to stay. We're going to be here 5 years from now. We're going to be here 50 years from now. We're going to be here for as long as it takes for Jesus to come back to planet Earth and bring back his bride. And so I'm just here to tell you, the community of Auburn needs for us to stand up and say, hey, we're here. And we have a place for you to call home and a place for you to encounter God. And so that's the plan. That's where we're going. Make sure I didn't forget about anything. Oh, but you need to know, the buildup to this moment wasn't like a, oh, finally. Because here's the thing. Our church doesn't look at a building or a piece of land as its savior. Our church believes wherever we gather in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God is going to fill up that place. So this isn't like, oh, we finally arrived at our ultimate goal. No, we finally know our next step, and we're moving obediently to how God has revealed that to us. Three things I got to share with you that before we leave today that we are not changing as a church, regardless of this announcement or whatever announcement I bring in the here and now. Number one is this: Jesus wins will remain our headline. Jesus wins will remain our headline. So the headline of the human story on planet Earth is this: Jesus wins. You can read it on our t-shirts. You can read it on our website. It's what we believe is the story of the Bible. But the question we have today is Jesus wins the story of your life and my life? The story of our church will always be highlighted by those two words. So don't leave here today going, ACC is getting land in an incredible place in Auburn. ACC is going to have a building and we're going to have ministries. No, the headline of Auburn Community Church is this: Jesus rose from the grave and his life lives in us. Jesus wins. And watch this. At our church, what we do and what I believe we do so well is we tell people how when you put Jesus next to every other option for your life, Jesus wins. And so Jesus is the only option you have that offers you real satisfaction. He's the only one who offers unconditional love. He's the only one who offers supernatural purpose, surpassing peace, and eternal security. And when you put Jesus next to every other option for your life, guess what? Jesus wins. And for the rest of our days as a church, we will stand to show people, hey, look at this life Jesus has to offer you, and look at what the world has to offer you. And I just gotta be honest with you guys, he wins. The world can't compete. You know what? There's thousands of people in Auburn, in the neighborhoods that we will be surrounded by on this land, that don't know that, and that haven't clearly seen why Jesus wins. And we are the church that wants to be on the front lines going, there's a life that Jesus died for you to live. ACC, look at me, don't miss this. Jesus did not die just to give you a get out of hell free card and give you heaven one day. He died to give you the fullness of purpose and peace and freedom today. And Jesus wins is the story that we want to proclaim to people, because there's a life that Jesus was dying for you to live. It's available to you today. It's available to you in this moment. But there's multitudes of others that need to hear that. Jesus wins will remain our headline. You know what else? Number two, you're going to love this. Church without walls will remain our vision. We will always be a church without walls. And what we realized is that if we want to continue to be a church without walls, we got to build some walls. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, because you're like, wait, so we're not, are we going to put away the t-shirts that say church without walls? Are we going to change it? No. Church without walls was never about the physical place. It's always been about relational people. So we're going to continue to be a church without walls. How? We're going to continue to expand our capacity to the level of God's compassion. So these walls that we're going to build off Hamilton Road won't be the last time that we have walls where people gather. You need to know, we're not moving our church to a building. Our church inhabits whatever space God opens for us. When we build this building, let me guarantee you something. When we build this and we put every single possible parking spot we can, if the city approves it, in the parking lot, when we put every single seat in the auditorium that we possibly can, the first week we open this building, it will be full. Because the nature of what God's doing through this movement is keep expanding your reach, keep expanding your capacity, not to build a bigger church, to build the kingdom of God, because Jesus has compassion on people who are lost. So we're going to keep being a church without walls. This won't be the last time. Like, once we get there, we're going to be like, oh my gosh, we finally built the building. We finally did it. Now what are we going to do? I guess we're going to have multiple spots all over our city. I guess we're going to have multiple spots all over Alabama. I guess we're going to have multiple spots all over the world, because what Jesus is doing can't stay here. It's got to go. And I just believe that there's a group of people waving fans on the sweat of their face that are more passionate about Jesus's glory going out into the nations than they are passionate about their own comfort. So we're going to stay uncomfortable. Is that okay? We're going to stay a church without walls. And we're going to keep expanding beyond this point. So when you leave today and people go, oh, ACC's buying land, ACC's getting a building, man, I guess they're done with the church without walls thing. No, we're not done with it. We're just starting it. And if we're going to continue to be a church without walls, we are going to have to build some. Thank you, Lord, for Face ID. Jesus Wins will remain our headline. Church Without Walls will remain our vision. And lastly, Here and Now will remain our focus. Here and Now will remain our focus. We are not lost in the future. And I'm not here today to tell you, hey, year and a half from now, 2 years from now, we'll finally be where we need to be. No, no, no. We are always fully focused on wherever our feet are planted. We're focused on every single Sunday putting the message of Jesus on display. We're focused on your community groups. We're focused on Compassion International and sponsoring kids all over the world. We are focused on staying right where we are. And so in this moment, I just want to say, if you're here today and you're like, man, I did not come to hear about how Auburn Community Church needs $2.3 million. I came here today to hear hope. I came here today to hear that God hasn't given up on me. You need to know, yes, we're going to do an offering at the end of this. And by the way, if the door closes on this building, what you're giving to will ultimately be toward walls getting put up for us to have room for people. So give generously. But I am not here. I am not here to go, it's time to rise up and give money. I am here to say, it's time to rise up on behalf of people. If you're within the sound of my voice right now and you feel so separated from God, you need to know this. Your Heavenly Father is not intimidated by your sin and shame. And there is nothing separating you from the God of the universe today. If you want your moment to step into the family of God, to be a blistering hot Sunday in the middle of September in Auburn, Alabama, this is your moment. We are not, guys, I hate getting up here and having to give you a pitch for you to be generous and give money. I know you will. Here's what I know. I know you're going to be faithful with whatever God has entrusted to you. So if God's entrusted a lot to you, I'd love it if you'd find me right after the service and go, $2.3 million, done. We can go ahead and have the land done and start worrying about raising money for the building campaign. That's going to be taken care of, no problem. What I'm more concerned about is people. If you're here today and you're not living in the fullness of purpose that Jesus died for you to live, what are you waiting for? There's no wall between you and God. And if there is, we just want to be a church that stands in the gap for you right now and says, Jesus changes everything. And let every chain be broken in his sight. Will you stand up all over this field? Will you stand up if you're far away in the shade? Will you stand up if you're in the parking lot? And in this moment, we're going to believe that Jesus has even more for people. If you're all in and you're ready to see God do something special, I want you to lift up your voice before we leave this place. The story of today cannot be about a piece of property. The story of today is about a risen Savior. Jesus Wins. And our church is about to go to every length to make sure that that story gets told to the multitudes, because when Jesus gets involved, Jesus changes everything. So whether you called yourself a Christian your whole life, or you're here today and you're going, that's me for the very first time, if here and now in this moment you would say, the headline of my life and story is Jesus Wins, would you just lift up your hand?
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.